Tonight, let's read a little bit out of the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. We will read from verse 18 through verse 20. All right, here we go. Starting at verse 18, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters." Somebody say this with me tonight. "Waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen." Look over at somebody and say, "What'd you bring with you tonight?" Uh-oh, I'm kind of worried. Slap them on the arm and say, "Wake up!" All right, there you are. I was wondering about you. Look over at him again and say, "What'd you bring with you tonight?" Glory to God. I hope that what you have that you brought with you was more than your pocketbook, your wallet, and your hanky. I hope that you brought something more in here with you tonight than just your depression and just your anger. I hope that you brought something bigger than that with you tonight. When I read the phrase, "I will make a way," it gives me assurance in situations where I would not have it. I look upon some of the things I've been through in my life, and I saw, and it took the appearance of something that lacked the solution. To walk in the desert without water would be painful. To walk in the wilderness without nourishment would hurt. But thank God, He didn't leave us alone in the desert. Thank God that He didn't leave us alone in the wilderness. But there's something about when you begin to go in places where you're seeking a solution, that oftentimes what we have with us, we think will solve our problems. But friends, I'm here to tell you, the things that you might be carrying tonight will not solve your situation. Some of you might be harboring an anger or a frustration over something that you're dealing with. And I just want to tell you, from one human being to another, I really identify with that with you. I know, believe, and understand what it feels like to look at something and wonder, when is it going to be any different? Look at something and say, when is it going to ever change? And as we begin to build up in angst, that's the wrong thing to carry. Come on, we're treading in on something tonight. There are attributes of God that we are withholding because we can only carry so much. And the things that we carry in life are directly reflected in our personality. If you think on good things and you surround your life with uplifting things, and if you strive to do what is right, then good things will follow you. Good things will surround you, and people will know that something is different about you than what it would be if they were looking at someone in the world. But when we come in with our frustration, when we come in with our doubt and unbelief, when we come in with everything else that cannot be blessed up, then when we're looking for the water in the desert, we cannot see it. But thank God He did not leave us without a source. Thank God He did not leave us without the ability to get through it. He did not leave the children of Israel in the old scripture. No matter what part of it that they were going through, they always had nourishment, they always had comfort, and they always had a way through by the guidance that they had been given. Nourishment, comfort, and direction. These are things that God wants you to have each and every day. But when we carry the things that are of greater weight in what we deal with in our lives, then the things that God said that we were to put on, then we are not able to handle the problem. So here's what happens. We lash out at our companion. We lash out at our family members. We get frustrated at work. Talk about our boss and how much we don't like them. We fight amongst ourselves, and when we don't have the courage to confront the person that's bothering us, we'll pick up the phone and sure tell somebody else how upset we are. What comes out of your speech represents who you are. What comes out of you when nobody else at church is getting to hear what you're saying, Yeah, some of them might have heard you tonight say, praise the Lord, oh my soul. But talk to me about Tuesday afternoon when something comes up. And you know that on Sunday you believe that you have the ability to overcome. But when Tuesday comes, we don't often feel like we have what we need. So what we begin to put on ourselves is of greater weight than we can handle. These are the things that God gave us deliverance from through forgiveness. Somebody say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness lifts a weight that you could not carry. When you forgive someone of something, it allows them to not have to carry the load that they may have deserved any longer. And when the Lord began to put this in my spirit, the first question that he asked me, brother, was, what is it that you're carrying every day? What is it that you're walking with every day? Because sometimes you're looking at someone else and you're looking for retribution. You're looking for justice. You're looking for an apology. You're looking for some written letter that says that everything is perfect. But I'm here to tell all of you in this place under the sound of my voice that no matter if you never get an I'm sorry, no matter if you never get somebody to say, will you forgive me for what I've done, that God has given you the ability to overcome in the desert, to overcome in the wilderness, because he said that he provided a way for you to endure these things. The power of letting go. What is it you brought in with you? If it kept you from praising God, then it's time to let it go. It's time to let something go. If it kept you from being able to enjoy the children obeying God, then you need to let some stuff go. If you're not able to worship when brother and sister such and such comes and attends, then it's time to let something go. If you are hindered to your own self, the Lord said that it's time to let it go. The only avenue that we can get rid of these weights is if we what? Receive forgiveness. How do we receive forgiveness? Through prayer and asking for it. Because here's what we want to do. Tell on myself again. My wife is a brilliant lady. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's a good person to me. But when I want to be right, sometimes the most amazing thing can look like your enemy. And I confess to myself, there's been times that I really wanted to be right. But I knew good and well that I was wrong. And it's easy for us to fight for the last word. But you talk to me about mustering up the courage to look somebody in the eye and tell them you're sorry. That's not so easy, is it? It's easier just to try to kick these things under the rug and say, well, I'm just going to move on and we're just going to get through this and I don't have to ask for forgiveness for these things and I'm just going to try to continue my life. But friend, let me tell you what happens when you don't ask for God to lift the weights that would beset you. Your heart becomes heavy, and as your heart becomes heavy, the passion to enjoy God's presence is diminished. And as it is diminished, it goes from being a worship of passion to just being lip service, and our hearts are far from it because the things that we carry does not provoke the anointing of God. Because if you come in with light of load, then it wouldn't even take somebody saying it's good to be at 13th Street to get you excited about something good. It wouldn't take a preacher trying to get your attention to get you to say thank you, Jesus. But if you're too weighted down, then I can guarantee you that you will not be free in him. We can't sweep this under the rug. The things that the Spirit reveals, we cannot sweep it under a rug. God wants you to talk to him about the things that would beset you. And I've been here with you. There's been times I didn't want to have to pray and address the things that I failed in. But until I did, I didn't take one step forward. Not one. You can wait 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, and think you're finally just going to be able to step away from your transgression. But transgressions are weights upon you. And transgressions must be redeemed. Your transgressions must be forgiven, so that you're able to walk light of load. When you are easily provoked by anger, and not easily provoked by the anointing, this is a direct reflection on the things that we are willingly accepting to carry. I would love to see a church that was so free that we didn't even need a preacher to preach. I love that. What a wonderful experience that would be. It's not my most favorite thing to do sometimes, to get up and have to talk about topics like these, because the one thing that nobody wants to do is to let go of the things that makes them wrong. The thing we don't ever want to admit is that we failed. Adam and Eve went to hide themselves in the midst of their transgression, and they thought by covering themselves that it would make them acceptable. But they would have never known that they had done something wrong unless they had a realization that they needed to do something to change the situation. And there's things that we have done in this walk of life that, even whether you're saved or not, that requires us to get down from time to time and ask the Lord to forgive us. For if we never are humble, we'll not inherit the good things of God. If we walk around acting like the whole world owes us everything, then what can you show anybody about what God is in you? In the book of Genesis, in the 45th chapter, we talk about a man by the name of Joseph. His brothers were envious, jealous of the good things and the favor that had been put on him. And they sold him out into slavery unto Egypt. Now you tell me, friend, if someone sold you out and threw you out and gave up you, would you be so easy to look back at them one day and tell them that they are forgiven? Would you be able to look at somebody that's wronged you and tell them that you love them? Would you be able to look at your affliction today and say, though you've hurt me in the past, today is a new day? Are you able to look at your situation and not pick up the things that would hold you down? Friends, I'm telling you right now, we're walking around with more weight than we're supposed to. He said that our burden should be light. It didn't say an absence of one, but it said that it should be lightened, because if we carry what God has given us to walk with, then we'll look at the things that would have been a weight all of our life and be able to say, you just take this thing, I don't want it anymore, because I'm forgiven, I'm changed, I'm redeemed, I'm set free, I'm made new. All things are passed away. When you get a hold of something like that, the next time the devil tries to come and cause you to begrudge, you'll throw it away and say, I've already been forgiven. The repetitive behavior of casting off the weights and hindrances of life is called righteousness. And the after effects of such behavior demonstrated in a life, and the signs and wonders that go with you, is holiness that lives within you. And as holiness is demonstrated, you then possess the capacity to take something that would have been the death of you and finally say, I'm done with this. There are people that still can't lay down drugs because they have the shame and the guilt of everything they've done behind them. But God forgave not only the act, but He gave us a way to let go of guilt. He gave us a way to let go of shame. He gave us a way to be lighter of load. If you want to walk, I feel this under the anointing of God right now. If you want to grow up and do something amazing, that's the kind of person I'm talking to right now. If you want to grow up and be perfect in the eyes of God, the virtue that you've got to learn to do every day that you live is to learn to be forgiven and to forgive others. Unless you learn to let go of the burdens that would beset you, then you'll go on too long without the comfort of the Spirit. And as that happens, the Bible said in Revelation that we would lose our first love, that our hearts would begin to wax cold, that we'd turn into a people that only cared about possession. We'd be that Laodicean spirit that would only care about what we had instead of caring about the one that gave us all that we've got. You don't have anything unless the Lord has loosed it for you to have it. You don't got a single blessing until you're able to hold it. Amen. I've let go of a lot to receive a lot. Oh yeah. Yeah, you might as well open the door. I'm coming in. I've let go of a lot to receive a lot. I've had to forgive when I didn't want to. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in here right now. I've had to forgive when I didn't want to. I've had to say I'm sorry for things I didn't even think that I was wrong in. I've had to look my situations in the eye and say, though you've hurt me, I'm still going to forgive you for the things that you've done. There's been people that has come against my family, and if they had met me in a previous life, they wouldn't have stayed alive very long. I'm here to tell somebody right now that I was a different person before I was forgiven, but as he forgave me, I was able to let go of the very things that would have caused me to be hindered. Let's read these words tonight. Verse 3 of chapter 45. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. Come on, somebody say, at his presence. Oh, man. Oh, we're going to get into why that's important. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God didn't send me before you, say that with me, to preserve life. For thine 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall never be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you, hear this phrase, to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here. It was not you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. If we could only learn that when we look at somebody in the eye that's hurt us, that it's not even them, you would remove so much grief in your life. The enemy will come through many avenues. In Joseph's case, through his own family. And you would have thought all the years of slavery would have made him hate them. And all the times he was forgotten in prison, you'd think that would have been enough for him to live spiteful all the rest of his days. But yet something within him was more than enough to not only survive, but to speak to the thing that tried to destroy him and say, I forgive you. There's a lot of people that I see every day that can have so much freedom, but they simply do not let go of what's in front of them. Sometimes I ask God, why do you give me these things to say? But I realize that it's with great haste that God wants us to get a hold of our identity. He wants us to have a greater understanding of who we are. And if you know who you are, then you'll know that you are forgiven. And as you are forgiven, you possess the capacity to let go of other things. Don't give me all the credit if you're hindered. Don't tell me it's my fault when you come to church and you can't worship. Don't look at the praise. Listen, we've had so many good programs that have been shut down all over the world because somebody didn't want to let go of something here. So rather than them letting go of their issue, they made it an issue to everybody else. Have you ever met somebody at your job that just made it just terrible in the entire workplace because of something that was bothering them in their life? The only thing that can cause us to turn our lives in a better direction is the Spirit of God. And those that are strong, if not moving and doing for God, then we are not producing the presence that will cause people to be troubled. I don't know if those brothers were even registering the first words that he was saying, because just the fact that they were in the presence of something they thought they had destroyed. I don't know who I'm talking to. I see it as far greater victory to keep on keeping on than for somebody to see me one day complaining and never having any satisfaction or joy. The devil would have you to live in this pain all of your life. But I would not want to give him another second of satisfaction. I don't want to live my life in fear or worry, and I'm not giving the devil another moment of my time. He's already stolen more than enough from me, and when God saved my soul, he gave me the ability to dismiss him, to say, I rebuke you and your ability to put on weights upon me, because I've been forgiven and made a new creature. Your ability to rebuke is as a result of your ability to have been forgiven. You wouldn't have been worthy to dismiss Satan had Christ not come. But since he has come and died for you, you now have the power to speak unto something that you couldn't have let go of before and say, your hold on me is finished. Have you ever wondered how your enemy could be at peace with you? Have you ever wondered why that he didn't just go ahead and hack them off and destroy them when they come against us? Because if the word said that your enemy would be destroyed, then nobody would be living. Because we all have failed and would have been unworthy to continue. But grace has given you the ability to let go. I'm letting go. I look at things in my life, and if it begins to be a hindrance to me, I don't want it. I don't want to keep it. If you spend an extended amount of time in your thoughts worrying over something, then this is something that God is showing you, that it's time to let go. Worry, if kept, turns into fear. And God did not put on us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, sound mind. How can you have sound mind unless you are at peace? When God forgave me of all my sins, even before I felt deliverance, I felt peace. I felt peace. I lived 23 years of my life looking for peace. Didn't find it anywhere. Wasn't in any substance I could find. Wasn't in any person that I could find. But I found peace just when he simply said, I forgive you of the things that you have done. What a freedom to have when you know that you're free. What a freedom to take when you know that you're delivered. What a liberty that God has given each and every one of you just to be able to say that we're saved. Can anybody praise the Lord in here tonight that he has saved your soul? Then you can acknowledge that he has forgiven you for something amazing. When Joseph didn't have to forgive him, he not only forgave him, but he blessed their house even when they didn't deserve it. I'm going to get real with you right now. There's some things in our lives today that if you looked at it and examined it, that you would know that you need to stop trying to escape this thing. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't run fast enough before you have to face it again one day. You might get rid of this person in your life that bugs you, but if you've not got victory, they're going to come back with a different face, but the same spirit. Unless you learn to let go of the way the devil tries to hinder you, it's going to come back in a new way, in a new situation. And the Lord said, if you are forgiven for your past, then I have given you the ability to let go of the things in your present. Get people that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost 25 years. But if you mess with their kids, they're going to throw that salvation outside for a minute. Lose themselves. 80% of violence occurs with people whom are related. 4 out of 5 occurrences of assault, harm, murder is from people that know each other. Unforgiven anger is a poison to the soul. Frustration that is harbored in you will poison your daily life. The things that you think is okay to get up and complain about every day is hurting you more than it is helping you. Because you can try to tell everybody that you know about how somebody else is bothering you. I know I'm getting on something. I feel it right now. You can tell everybody you know about how something's bothering you, but until you tell the Lord about how that you need to be able to love them again, until you tell the Lord about how you're ready to move on from this, I don't know. I'm tired of walking around having begrudging stuff in my life. I want to be so free that I'm able to dance in public. I want to be so free that no hindrance of the devil will make me hang on to the the past. I'm not taking the past with me when I go to glory. So I'm not going to worry about your transgressions. I'm going to lift you up and say, yeah, we came short back then, but he's forgiven us for today. You have got to stop holding on to this stuff. It's time to drop this stuff. And I feel led to tell all of you that we don't have time to keep hanging on to this stuff. We don't have time to keep harboring these feelings that we have, because most of the time what bothers us the most is something that happens to those that we're close to. I hear somebody that I don't know talk about how I preach and how they don't like it. It don't bother me as much as if my mama came up and directly insulted me to my face. That'd be a little bit different. I know she'd never do that. The enemy is harboring anger, frustration, sadness, depression, and he's trying to keep us to continue and walk with it by things that happen that continue to add fuel to the fire. Something that might have provoked you on Monday, somebody might come back and talk to you about it, remind you about how you should be mad about it, how you should be worried about it, and all of a sudden what you almost let go of begins to come back up a little bit more. The Bible said, we just preached this, that if an evil spirit leaves one, that it's going to enter into another 7 times stronger than in what it did before. So I know that if I've gotten over frustrations, that there's somebody else out there that needs to see me as an ally instead of an adversary. People don't need to come to church and feel like the pastor's beating them up to death. People don't need to come to church and not feel like that they're good enough to even attend. They need to see a body of believers that shows that they have been forgiven by the way that they will open up their hearts and say, come on, it's time to live a new way. It's time to do a new thing. I feel the Lord right now, and I'm here to tell somebody, he's given you a new thing, and it's time to receive it. He's given you a new beginning. He's given you the means, the water to the desert, the deliverance when you didn't deserve it, is the forgiveness that you were given. Now the Lord said, use it and let it be in your life.